It's like I picked the wrong week to quit smoking. It's like I picked the wrong week to quit drinking. I can't take much more of this. It's like I picked the wrong week to quit amphetamines.
Does that get old?
Never. That's Lloyd Bridges, and we celebrate dude's name Lloyd since the Hawks have hired Lloyd Pierce as the 15th coach in Atlanta franchise history, 13th full-time coach, as you heard out Jared.
And there are not many. There are not a whole lot of Lloyds out there.
There's not a lot of Lloyds out there. Nope.
And I told you earlier, Bob Sanders for the safety for the
Colts.
He
was the only Bob in the NFL at the time?
Yes.
Seriously?
There was one guy named Bob Sanders, his last year in the league, and I don't know if there's any.
Well, the Falcons have Bob Alford.
You're going to go there. Who's that guy that wrote the song Piano Man? He's a singer.
Bill Joel.
Bill Joel. Yes. That's right. And the lead singer for Led Zeppelin.
Oh, Bob Plant.
Bob.
And I saw that band that I saw, Greta Van Fleet, last week. God, they're so good.
Really?
Yeah, very, very Zeppelin. They were so good. It was worth it.
And you saw the Foo Fighters at Georgia State. You said the sound was incredible.
It was incredible. Got really close to General Mission. Yeah, it's fantastic. So good. Close enough to see the crow's feet on Dave Grohl's face.
Really?
Yes.
He's got a couple?
Got a couple.
Has he got Grecian formula? Does he have the little gray sideburns now?
I didn't see much gray. No, he's 49, so he should be getting some. I don't have much gray. I'm 51, so all right. Well, it seems like since Lloyd Pierce announced the Hawks head coach, all the media seems to like it. NBA people seem to like it. Other coaches seem to like it. Players have respect for him. But the fans are like, well, kind of greeted with a chorus of yawns, Harper.
Well, we've had two callers.
We've had two vitriolic calls about this. But I understand. But what do you need a young guy that can connect with today's athletes, who's all familiar with the social media, the snap face and all that stuff, and that rap and roll music those kids listen to today.
Those whippersnappers.
Those whippersnappers, yes. Let's go to Ken in Atlanta. Ken, what's going on? Let me guess, you're not happy with the hire either, or you don't care?
No, I'm sort of neutral about it.
Yeah.
Because I'm actually trusting our new general manager.
Me too, Ken.
And I was reading about it, and I think that the key word was we needed a teacher. So apparently this guy is an excellent teacher, which is what a group of young players need.
Precisely.
That's what I think.
All right, Ken, appreciate it. See, there you go. There's his virtue right there. Knows how to coach defense, knows how to connect with young players and to teach them. That was a big virtue of Mike Budenholzer, of course, did not want to deal with the rebuild.
So he doesn't know how to yell and get guys to play hard?
I don't know. What's he going to be like? Is he going to be all horse like Mike Budenholzer was after games? Except for this year, we noticed, because he knew the team was bad, so he's never horse after games.
Not this year.
Not this year.
Hey, what do you have to say about the game? Well, to be candid, you know, when they were playing for the Eastern Conference Finals. Coach, what do you think about your team's performance tonight?
Well, they were
like Bart Simpson's
aunt.
A
little bit, yeah. Oh, yeah, what are their names?
I can't remember. I don't know.
Aunt something's.
I don't know. I just remember their voices.
They kind of talk like
this. They talk like this. My mother talked like this, too.
Two
packs left in that voice.
Two packs. An hour.
Yeah.
We'll do that to you.
All right, Conference Finals. The NBA. Against tomorrow, game one, Golden State, now Houston. A lot of people are saying that's the actual NBA Finals. Then, of course, you have Boston and Cleveland. I actually like Boston in this series.
Are you going to put your money where your mouth is?
I just went on record in front of our tens of listeners.
Yeah.
Boston wins this series.
Why?
I'll tell you why, Harper. Here's my take on it. Look what happened in that series against Indiana. LeBron has been consistent. He's played great the entire season, all through the playoffs. He is what he's always been for the most part. Supporting cast struggled mightily against Indiana. Then they play well against Toronto. So it's really not up to LeBron how Cleveland fares against Boston. It's going to be up to Kyle Korver and Tristan Thompson and all those guys, J.R. Smith. That's what it comes down to. It seems like LeBron is like, he has to drag those guys into trying to make them want to will themselves to win at times. It's like trying to get a teenager out of bed at 10 a.m. on a Saturday. That's what LeBron is like with his supporting cast. That's what it boils down to. I don't think Boston's gotten the respect. They've kind of been an afterthought. I know I know you don't have Kyrie Irving. You've had some injuries. Of course, Hayward gets hurt the first minute of the first game.
Yeah.
But that shows you what a good coach Brad Stevens is, clearly.
I think so.
And not to mention Al Horford, too. Been playing very well. And you got those other, you got Rozier, and they've got some good pieces.
I thought from an emotional standpoint that Philly was going to give Boston fits.
Yeah.
Just take them to game seven or actually win it. And then, because they're ready. Well, clearly they're not.
Not ready yet.
Boston said, nope.
Nope.
Not on my dime.
Not still a little bit too young, you little zygotes. You have to percolate for another year.
Hang out for a little while before you mess with the big boys.
I expected more out of the Sixers. They went back and looked at, the last 15 seconds of the final game of that series and revealed that, I can't remember who the player is involved, but there was a foul that should have been called and maybe a travel on Marcus Smart that should have been called. And the NBA admitted they made a mistake there. Does that really do the NBA any good to admit that?
It clears the air in that they...
Because 76ers probably even more angry now. Well,
absolutely.
We probably maybe could have forced another game.
I know. I can't tell you how many times we would get a call, or Jerry Glanville would tell us that we would get a call on Monday from the league saying they blew a call on Sunday. Well, we know that.
Yeah, thanks.
What's it going to do?
Well, we can replay the game? No, that's not going to happen.
We still got an L.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
But I guess my take on the whole thing is, there's probably some calls that the Celtics were victimized by during that game that the 76ers got away with, so it kind of evened out. Too bad it came at such an inopportune time with like 15 seconds left of the game on the line.
Which in the NBA is almost every playoff
game. So it's not a big deal. But 76ers are going to have to wait a little bit longer. I do like the Celtics in this series, though. But everybody's calling the Rockets Golden State. There's your finals right there.
Remember, take it back to football. There were championship games that were so much better. Remember when the Super Bowls all were blowouts?
Yeah, for a while. It seemed like for 5-6 years, like the best weekend was conference championship weekend.
The conference championships. Yep. Those are great games. And and the difference is they're both playing on the same day right after each other, mm-hmm. where the neat thing about either hockey or basketball playoffs is the West is playing one night and the East is playing on the other night. So every night there's a game that you can pay attention to. You don't get a lot of yard work done during that week, but at least there's stuff for you to do. And, are the Celtics back? I don't know. We're going to find out. Because it's been all Cleveland, half decade here. And prior to that, it was Miami. So are they going to make the step that the Sixers couldn't? Sixers thought they were ready. What was their record throughout the course of the year? And Boston played well, too. 55 wins on the course of the year.
How about Dwayne Casey? You're the coach of the year. 2 days later, you get fired.
Thanks, but no thanks.
Well, you can't coach in the postseason. And for some reason, LeBron is in the collective head of Toronto. Was it 3 years in a row now?
They win 59 games. That's kind of like the Marty Schottenheimer thing. Maybe 60. Remember Schottenheimer goes...
Never could break through.
Was it 14-2?
Yeah.
They lose to who? The Patriots?
Mm-hmm.
At home. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
See you, Marty.
Yeah. Can't quite break through.
59-23 was Toronto, right? 59-23. No. Best team Toronto's ever had. Still
Philly's
couldn't beat.
Philly's 52-30,
They are. Yeah, 52-30.
That's crazy. You're named NBA coach of the year and you get fired 2 days later.
Wow.
That's like forget Paris. Billy Crystal plays the NBA referee and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. He throws Kareem Abdul-Jabbar out of the game. This is my farewell game. Well, let me be the first to say farewell. That's kind of like the equivalent of that in some sort of sense. So there you go. So I think everything depends. LeBron's going to be what he's been. He's going to play great in the series. It depends on how a supporting cast goes. And that seems to be what it always boils down to.
And first series, a little iffy from the bench. They lose their first game one in years.
Yep. LeBron's never lost a first round.
Never first lost game. A first round, but yeah, first game.
First game.
So have they awakened the sleeping giant, which is the bench and the other four in Cleveland? Are they now finally kind of getting it? Because I think – I won't say they were sleepwalking. They had a good season. Don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't really matter when you've already won some rings and you've gone to the NBA Finals year after year after year. You know what? We know when we have to have it turned on, and we know when it really doesn't matter. The Buckhead flu.
But they're not talented enough just to flip a switch whenever – they're so wildly inconsistent. Now, LeBron, of course, can. LeBron is known to get bored in February, I guess you could say. Oh, the demise of the Cavaliers vulnerable. No, they're just – kind of sleepwalking through the rest of the season until the playoffs get here.
And have they awakened the sleeping giant? Boston's going to find out.
I think it's going to be a very intriguing series. I can't wait to see what that boils down to.
Ball movement, speed, youth, yep. Everything that Boston Utes. Has going for them yep. is one of those things. Hey, can they do it? And the crowd. There's a distinctive – and I think the crowd will – I remember years ago I met with Marty McSorley, who was a defenseman with the L.A. Yeah. Kings. And he had played – he'd won two cups with the Edmonton Oilers. And I met him at a restaurant once, and I was working at this restaurant. And I asked him, I said, what's it like for you when you get – in the Stanley Cup Finals. He goes, dude, let me tell you, the first round is intense because it's the playoffs and it all matters there. And no one wants to go play golf. And so you want to win the series. But the intensity from each level, and in hockey and in basketball, there's four levels, right? There's three prior rounds to the conference championship, and then you get in the finals. He said, the finals is just, it's amazing. Now, they won three cups in 4 years. They had a year or two where they didn't. Then they won it the next year.
God, you had Messier, Gretzky.
Gretzky was there for three of them.
Yeah.
Oh, four, excuse me. They won three in a row, not four in a row. I always thought they won four in a row. I'm way wrong. No, the Islanders won four in a row. But anyways, the intensity level and the crowd, he said, it got so loud in our building. It was just, I've never heard it like that. And it's just amazing. We're playing Calgary, and it's just, it's nuts. During the regular season, they're excited, but only when there's a goal scored. This is every check, every time you're away from the puck, they get into everything. Mm-hmm. And that's what this basketball level is going to be like. And you think Boston doesn't have great basketball fans? They're incredible. They know their game.
You see what happened in February when LeBron was there? He kind of hurt his leg, had to exit the game, but he came back in. The crowd cheered. They cheered an injury.
Yeah.
Keep it classy, Boston.
They can't.
Those are spawns of Satan up in Boston. That's the worst town in the beautiful town with all sorts of history. Just the people are so beneath contempt. All those championships, all the sports riches they have, and they're still miserable like that. I just don't get it. How about this, though? The Winnipeg Jets, formerly the Atlanta Thrashers.
I was going to ask if you were going to throw that. Yeah.
What, the Flames won a Stanley Cup 9 years after leaving Atlanta. Winnipeg is now 7 years out of relocating from Atlanta. Now they're in the conference finals.
Yeah.
Wow. There's like three, Brian Little, Toby Enstrom, there's another guy, I think. Three guys left over from the Atlanta Thrashers on this team.
I didn't get to see last night's, or the other night, their game seven against the Predators. I had a ball game with my son, but they're good now.
Mm-hmm.
They're strong, they're fast, they're quick, they check hard, and I love Stanley Cup hockey, and their series against the Vegas Knights of all teams. I mean, Vegas. Marc-Andre Fleury he's amazing now. Great goalie.
Greatest story in the last 100 years of sports, I think, if Vegas wins a Stanley Cup as an expansion team. Pure and simple. Hey, we're going to come back, talk to Jared Smith about Atlanta United. Tough times for Atlanta United. Lose the other night. Tomorrow's not going to be easy either, and we'll tell you why next. Sports Radio 929 The Game, flagship station of Atlanta United.
Well, but not here. They send a long ball to Fernandez, who's onside coming down the middle on a breakaway. Fernandez beats Christensen, shoots, and scores. And that will do it.
Yes, Mike Conti, that pretty much did it. The unbeaten streak ends at, what was it, 8?
He shoots. He scores.
He scores. Sports Radio 929 The Game. We are the flagship station of Atlanta United, who's in Borlando to take on Borlando City tomorrow. Pregame 5:30, kick at 6 o'clock. And we got Jarrett Smith joining us. Normally it's Jason Longshore, sometimes it's Mike Conti. Why not let the youngster, young Jarrett, get some time with us? I was there the other night, my friend. That was tough. It was tough to watch. Especially you score first, apparently, but then, of course, offsides.
Yeah, that's man. That's not ever going to stop being debated. Pretty sure.
No.
That thing has been examined more thoroughly than the Zapruder film.
That's right. Or what constitutes a catch in the NFL is what it boils down to, right?
Yeah, pretty much. But, except it's international law, and it's even weirder.
Yep. And Brad Guzan goes out. Deserved record.
That was a right call.
And the guy they brought in, I could have sworn I saw him playing goal for Decatur High School the other night when they lost to McIntosh in PKs in the state semifinals. That kid looked young, like he didn't even have a driver's license yet. Little Christensen, young Christensen.
Did he have like the little little five
nothing.
Mustache on
nothing.
Each side?
No, he didn't even have that. Nope.
And a couple of little long hairs on the chin.
I don't even think his testicles have dropped yet. That's what I'm saying. That's how young the kid is. But
But you put him in a tough spot, right?
Put him in a very tough spot. So what are your thoughts on what happened the other night?
I thought when he got in there, I thought he handled it as well as he could have. He got called into action pretty early in the second half, took a ball off
good
the chest.
Good for his development going forward. He did have he had one good save early on. I thought that would boost his confidence, but after I think the magnitude of the moment may have gotten to him.
He talked as much about it after the match that he had jitters going into it. Mm-hmm. You know, this kid got signed on a hardship deal because Atlanta already is down two goalkeepers. He wasn't expecting to be put in this situation. He gets thrown in there. And first couple kicks are a little bit off, and he said there were jitters, but every touch, it settled down a little bit. That first save really brought him into the game. And then the goal, the first goal that Shalloway scores, that was just a great goal. He put his foot around the ball and ripped it and bent it around space and time into the side netting.
Now, Alec Cann played well last year. He played pretty well. Is he going to be ready? I heard it's a minor injury. Is he going to be ready to go? I think you got to put him out there tomorrow.
It's weird right now because allegedly it's either going to be him or Mitch Hildebrandt. One of them will be ready. Hildebrandt was with Cincinnati last year. And for people who follow the Open Cup, which is where all the teams in the United States of America, from the low teams like Christos FC in Baltimore, who was this pub team sponsored by a liquor store that got up to play an MLS team last year, from them all the way up to the MLS clubs. He was a star for Cincinnati, had a great performance in the U.S. Open Cup on national television. One of those two guys is expected to be able to go. Now, I would expect, one of them is going to start, and you're not necessarily going to throw the kid out there unless one of those guys just can't do it, and then they become like an emergency.
Since both of you – well, were you at the game?
Yes. Jared?
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So I wasn't, but I listened, and I want to ask, is there any positive takeaway with a team as good as Kansas City is, right? They're leading the West. That you only gave up two goals without your goalie, and you've got a 14-year-old kid that's in the nets for you. Is there a reason in any way, shape, or form? Do you go, you know what? Good job, defense. Wait, when you bunker down, you're only got 10 players anyways because of the red card. Do you draw anything positive out of that?
Oh, absolutely. Atlanta went for the entire second half of that game. They still peppered Tim Elliott's goal. So Sporting Kansas City's goalkeeper was keeper of the year last year in MLS, and he earned that title.
He did.
Then he earned it the other night. He made two or three absolutely amazing saves that kept Atlanta from either drawing or winning that game down a man. Sporting Kansas City was up a man, and there were some points in that game where you didn't necessarily know it if you had just strolled right up across the TV and hadn't been able to count the players yet or seen a notification that Atlanta was down to 10 men. They played really admirably, all things considered. You got the kid a little bit of a chance there, and Kevin Kratz continues to just try and just break every goal possible from a free kick, and it took Tim Melia to keep him out, but there's a lot of positives to take out of that arguably one of the best teams in the league came into your house, you were down a man, and you still it took a goal of the week caliber goal for them to get in front of you. And the second goal, you can kind of wash away because Atlanta was pouring forward trying to tie it up. They went into that with the mentality of we're either going to tie this game or we're going to lose 2-0.
Exactly.
Interesting. And we don't play at Kansas City.
Nope.
This is the only time we see them the entire year.
Western Conference teams you see once a year, and it alternates home and away every year.
Yeah. So you call them Borlando.
I call it, Orlando's boring city. I hate Disney World, too. With a royal passion.
How can you hate Can't, Disney? What's hate wrong
it.
With you?
Hate it. I'm a Six Flags guy. That's why.
Oh, are you?
I'm a Six Flags guy. I'm a Coca-Cola guy, unless Pepsi's one of our sponsors. I love Pepsi. I'd be careful of that. Whatever car we were advertising, say I'll drive it.
Mountain Dew? Were you in Mountain Dew in college?
I like Mountain Dew a little bit, but now it just looks like antifreeze to me. Unless they're a sponsor. Love Mountain Dew. Put it on my cereal. I raised my daughter on Mountain Dew.
There's like 10 different Mountain Dews these days.
You know what I'm worried about, though? You're down a man the other day. That's such an expenditure of energy. You're in the midst of three games in 8 days, which is extremely grueling. I mean, tomorrow's going to be tough.
And it's going to be weird weather-wise because it might be storming. You might have that Orlando rainstorm coming through and just, frog strangling you pretty much.
Yeah. So sideways for like 30 minutes, it's going to get steamy hot, right?
Oh, yeah. Just you can cut the air with a knife. Now, one of the guys who is hated by Orlando but loved by Atlanta is Tito Vijalba, who won you a game last year.
Yes.
Vijalba came off in the first half. Vijalba should be very fresh going into that game, but guys like Miguel Almiron.
Well, that's right. He was taken out after Kazan. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
So guys like Barco and Almiron, they did a lot of running. Martinez comes off in the second half, so he should have some fuel left in there. But it's fair to wonder about guys like Almiron, how those legs are feeling. Wouldn't expect them. They're not going to miss the game, but if you know, if that game gets up, Atlanta might be careful with their minutes, and we might see Almiron kind of be careful with his energy and kind of know his own gas tank and know how much he can burn here and there.
You know, I was relieved to know that chances are he will not be stolen this summer. He's going to at least stick around until November. But we know Miguel Almiron is gone.
Oh, there! Everyone has a price tag, and I hope he stays through the summer. Now, if someone comes in with an absolutely ludicrous offer,
yeah,
then yeah. But there is the hope that he.
I would hope he wouldn't just turn his back on the city and the team and everything else.
No,
because I guarantee you, going forward, when his playing days are over, he looks back. I think I enjoyed playing in Atlanta more than I enjoyed playing anywhere in Europe, just because of these guys were shocked at the support this team had, especially that first day out. At Georgia Tech, they walk out. I know they were amazed by it. I think he's going to look back fondly on his days in Atlanta.
And don't you think also some of the other teams, when their players get there, you know, this is pretty cool what's going on. Full arena, loud like crazy. They got their own little traditions that they're even starting. We got one here. Do you have your scarf, your 92.9
scarf? I do have a scarf.
You have a 92.9
scarf? Not 92.9, though. It's a Heineken scarf.
You got the Heineken scarf.
Yeah. That is, unless Budweiser's one of our sponsors. I have a Budweiser scarf, too.
It's
being careful, man.
It's fantastic to watch, though. I mean, just because we've heard from players coming to Atlanta to play against Atlanta United, and they're like, this is really impressive and kind of terrifying.
Yes.
And Atlanta has built a fortress here. They've lost twice at home in the regular season since they moved into mm-hmm. Mercedes-Benz. Both times they lost a goalkeeper and played down a man.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, they have not lost at home with equal men. So, yeah, the secret to beating Atlanta at home is to make sure Brad Guzan or Kyle Rainish, it was last year, he's not with the team anymore, make sure the goalkeeper gets sent off. That's how you beat Atlanta at home.
All right, I remember when Pele signed with the New York Cosmos, the old North American Soccer League. What's his name? David Beckham goes out to L.A. Now we have Wayne Rooney with D.C. How impactful is he going to be in this league? How old is Wayne Rooney now? He's got to be 45 years old, isn't he?
You know, his money's pretty good. It was $16 million, is that right?
Oh, it's some absurd amount.
Hey, he'll be getting plenty of money. You know, it's a move for DC. They're moving. They're trying to move up from being a cellar dweller last year, and they need to have an impact striker. He can
Rooney's
still
32.
Be that. He can still be that in quantities, but they also need somebody who moves the needle for jersey sales. And he can definitely be that. They're moving into a new stadium this summer as well, an Audi Field up there. Moving out of RFK
Stadium.
Sounds
like marketing 101 to bring in a new guy. Then I would think.
Out of RFK, where the Raccoons kind of took over and ran everything as management.
What are we looking at with Orlando this year? I like the rivalry. It seems like there's some legitimate hate. I heard some Atlanta United fans were attacked in the stands last year.
Really?
Hmm?
There are absolutely feelings on both sides of this. Atlanta like putting a billboard in Orlando did not help that. So there's absolutely
feelings.
That
was awesome when they did that.
Oh, yeah. There is absolutely feelings about this. Atlanta will be down there twice this year. Orlando comes up here once. So it should be a lot of fun, but Orlando is a really interesting team. They poured just about every bit of money they have into this team this season, bringing in guys like Justin Miram and Sasha Kljestan. They brought in Dom Dwyer last year. Holsway Coman coming in as well. It's a really dangerous team, but they do get a little leaky in the back, and lesser teams have not been able to take advantage of that. But if there's a team that can take advantage of a back line that is giving up, you know, opportunities, you have to think it begins and ends with Joseph Martinez.
What do you think about the young Barco kid? Finally got his first goal. Not this game, but the one before that.
Yeah, he's just insanely talented, and he's
total prodigy.
He's settling in more and more every game. The chemistry's better. The growth is better every game, and you see that connection that you see with the guys who have been here for a while, and you see them communicating by sight. It's almost telepathic. You're seeing him start to pick that up. If you told me by the All-Star break he leads the league in fouls drawn, I wouldn't be shocked. He just seems to be drawing fouls every 5 minutes because he moves the ball like a wizard.
Yep.
And it's very impressive to watch. He's not necessarily going to fill the goal and assist tallies the way people might expect. He might fill the assist tallies pretty significantly, but he's really fun to watch. And I think by the time he does leave eventually, because he will go to Europe at some point, people are going to look back very fondly on what he became here and what he grew into, because he still can't legally drink.
Yeah. What do you think, maturity wise? What was something that he's going to have to show me this or show me that he's shown you now that you've seen after three or four matches that you're pretty impressed with? What do you do? I think it's just his ability to, you know, be 50, 60 yards away and pass a ball and get it within the trash can, if you know what I mean. His accuracy passing is amazing to me. What about you?
Yeah, he delivered a ball. He delivered a ball a couple weeks ago that it was a diagonal ball about 30, 40 yards and dropped it on Julian Gressel's foot like it was no big deal.
Yeah.
His vision is beyond his years, and his work off the ball is getting a lot better. It's better than I thought it would be, and it's not to say I thought it would be bad, But his movement off the ball, trying to get into open space, has been really fun to watch.
Well, that's it, part of learning how to play the game.
Yeah, right, absolutely. That's just growth. And he is beyond his years in a lot of ways in that regard.
What can we do about PKs? Guys, get rid of them. Can't we just go like 8-on-8 or something like that? I don't like PKs.
I love them when they're not my team.
Yeah.
When they're not my team, I can enjoy watching everyone else pull their hair out. When it's me, it's just stressful because it's that Murphy's Law of it feels like, oh, you're always gonna be the team that loses that. But yeah, it is stressful.
Is there any talk of trying to maybe remedy that, or is it here to stay?
Have you ever seen the PKs they did in the MLS back in the 90s and early 2000s when the league was early? Instead of just a PK where the ball was at the spot, they did 40-yard PKs where you picked up the ball from 40 yards, dribbled towards goal, and you had 5 seconds.
It's like a hockey shootout.
Yeah.
Like a shootout.
It was
awesome.
Like a shootout, and you had to get it off of your foot in a certain amount of time.
I like that.
I'd be okay with that, I think.
I'll show you on YouTube later.
That'd be kind of,
it was absolutely amazing.
Go 8-on-8.
Rob's favorite part of the game is the flop. When are we going to get rid of the flop?
Oh,
as soon as it goes away in basketball, too.
Okay. Well, basketball's learned from them.
Hey, Orlando City, and then the Red Bulls. Who are you worried about?
Right now, this game, you take it one game at a time, as cliche as that sounds, because it is the road. Orlando City's won 6 straight, and this is the third game in 8 days. They got to rest during the middle of the week. You did not, so you got to take care of this. Then you got 7 days to recoup and look ahead to Red Bulls.
Does Orlando have any player on their roster named Lloyd?
No, we did last year.
We had a Lloyd?
We had Zach Lloyd.
Oh, my gosh.
He hardly played. He's recovering from concussions.
Last name. We're talking about first name Lloyd.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. No.
All right, going to come back. Something I didn't really think would be possible this year, but the Braves actually might be buyers. Well, who are they going to get rid of so they can buy? We'll get into that next. Sports Radio 99 Game. Sports Radio 99 The Game. He's Harper LaBelle. I am Rob Tribble.
Is Chipper coming up?
That's what I was just thinking.
That's his song, right?
How
many years did he have that?
I don't know.
A lot?
Most of them, probably. My walk-up music would be Inagata De Vita, all 18 minutes. You'd have to sit there and wait for the whole song to play before I'd step in and take a pitch. How's that?
The whole thing?
Or the theme from Barney. It'd be something to drive people nuts. I love you. That'd be great walk-up music, I think, right?
I thought you meant like Barney Miller or something, you know, that song. No, I couldn't even. Wojo? Who else was on? Barney Miller, but
Fish.
Yeah, that's right.
Abe Vigoda, who finally died.
And Abe Vigoda as Fish.
Yep.
That's your, really? I thought you've, what was the band you told me that the local Atlanta all-girl band that it,
the
you,
Coat Hangers.
The Coat Hangers, yeah.
They're so good.
You wouldn't want a Coat Hanger song? What I would want to do is
maybe
be able
do a Coat Hanger song. Yeah, I'd probably do a Coat Hanger.
My mood is going to change, and I may want a different song every other week.
That's true. You don't want to get in a rut.
No.
I don't listen to just one song over and over.
I never do.
No.
I do like some songs I could listen to over and over, but I choose to move on.
All right, this is per Grant McCauley.
So it's got to be accurate.
Eddie Matthews, Orlando Cepeda, Albert Pujols, Ozzie Albies. Only 4 players 21 years old or younger have reached 12-plus home runs in their team's first 37 games.
And Ozzie, are you kidding me?
Yeah. Ozzie has 12 at 5'8". He's our Altuve. That kid is absolutely phenomenal to watch. It seems like he has different swings. It doesn't seem like he has any. He can golf it out of the ballpark if he has to. Hits from both sides of the plate. It's just been amazing to watch, especially Ronald Acuna, too. Has a nice running catch the other night. The Braves are likely going to be buyers, it appears. And it seems like, who was it? I think it was Mark Bradley. Mark Bradley wants to go all in. He wants the Braves to do whatever it takes to snatch up Manny Machado. I'm thinking, no.
Not him?
I don't want to sit there and just eviscerate this newly replenished minor league system to do that. And I remember Braves did that for Mark Teixeira. Got rid of a bunch of guys. Mark Teixeira didn't stick around.
2 years, I think, before he went to the Yankees?
Even, yeah. So I just don't want to do that.
You don't want to rent him?
No. I know the Braves need some help. They got to figure out the starting pitching. Some guys haven't been real consistent. I think that's going to bear itself out because you have so much talent. Eventually, the pretenders will be eliminated by the contenders, as it were. So I think that's going to be okay. Probably needs some bench help as well. But I'm battling with this. And I heard Randy go back and forth with this with John Chuckery. He says, absolutely, don't you dare trade Nick Markakis this year. He's been your most steady performer, basically, the entire season. Now, he's not going to do what he's been doing the entire year because he never does, but as of right now, though, he's still just scalding the ball.
What's your trade if you do put him on the blocks? I'm just asking. You said no, but I'm saying you got to listen to the offer anyway.
Are seven homers, 29 RBIs. He's, what's his batting at? 345.
That's all?
What are you going to get back for him, though, at 34? You're going to get another prospect, some of which you have. I say just let him stick around for this year.
Yeah, but what if you need starting pitching? And
you do need starting pitching.
If everybody around the league is going, all right, well, give us Markakis.
But what type of start are you going to get back in return, though? That's the thing.
We're just hypothetically putting things together. But if we do need starting pitching or a middle reliever or,
Well, you need relievers. The bullpen has been a little inconsistent, certainly.
We teased earlier in the show that you can never have enough pitching.
Nope.
Never.
Never.
Never have enough defensive tackles.
That's true.
Or cornerbacks. It's part of the way the game is made. Are you surprised that they're 22-15? Seven games above 500?
Half game in first place. I know I don't really pay attention until like 1st of June. That's when you kind of have enough of a sample size. But I won't say shocked, but I'm pleasantly surprised. Because I know how baseball is. Anything can happen. I understand that. But I'm very pleasantly surprised, certainly. And it's just the way they go about it, too. They're not hitting the ball out of the ballpark any more than any other team. So I know Ozzie Albies has gone. Freddie Freeman's home run totals are down, but his average is up. What the Braves are doing so well is hitting with runners in scoring position. With two outs, it seems like they're always coming through as far as that goes.
You mentioned Grant earlier. I don't know if it was a Grant quote, but I heard here on our station earlier in the week. Please forgive me for not pinpointing where it came from, but the Braves are also leading the league in first inning runs.
Yeah. That's been a frequent thing. Yeah, that's always good.
Let's not wait till the fourth or fifth inning to, get a runner in position. Let's do it now. And I think taking advantage of your first four, five, six guys in the lineup and being able to move people across the plate, I think that's amazing. Is that a bigger surprise? I did have a follow-up, so I messed up by continuing to talk.
Soroka's first big league start, he was staked to a three-run lead. That's got to take the edge off.
Oh, no kidding. Right. Wow, how nice is that? Yeah. Are you more surprised with Atlanta at 22-15, or are you more surprised that Washington isn't much further ahead? I'm a little disappointed if I'm a Nationals fan right there. They're a 22-18. They had a 6 or 7 game winning streak just a short while ago, but they're a very average ball club right now, in my opinion.
Well, Adam Eaton's done for the year, isn't he? That's one of their more productive players. That's a tough thing to replace right there, having some sort of an ankle issue. I think he had ankle surgery, so yeah. But the Nats, how about the Dodgers? The Cubs were struggling for a little while.
Dodgers are just now getting a couple of their players back. They had three starting pitchers, their third baseman, Turner, Seager, Puig, and there was one other guy right off the top of my head. They had four regular players that were out.
Mm-hmm.
They went through this 2 years ago. They had 20-some-odd guys on the DL list at one point or another during the season. So I don't know how you figure that out, but I know Dodger fans are tremendously disappointed in how it's started out.
Now they're arriving in the sixth inning rather than the fifth.
I know.
They've been leaving in the eighth.
There's no hurry to get there anyways. Yeah, there's sixth inning, leave at the eighth. Kirk Gibson's home run, we've seen that before. There's the lights that go on between the scoreboard.
Your buddy Jay's is that reunion this weekend?
Yes,
the 20-year reunion?
Yeah.
Jay Hall, your buddy?
30-year
reunion?
I called Jay.
Wow, that's 30 years ago.
In 1988.
I remember watching the game. I remember vividly. I was watching with my teammates at West Georgia. We were watching it.
A thing from that game, we mentioned just a little. Tommy Lasorda goes out because Kirk Gibson is warming up in the batting cage, deep in the bowels of the stadium there. They had a little cage. Someone's throwing pitches to him. And he tells the bat boy, not the same bat boy that was in San Francisco.
When Tommy soiled himself.
He says to the bat boy, go tell Tommy I'm ready. It's the ninth inning. So the bat boy comes over. Coach Lasorda, Kirk says he's ready. Holy, you tell him to get up here. So Tommy's got to go out to home plate and tell the umpire that I need to slow this thing down a little bit. And they have a little conversation. They talk about lunch and what they're going to do in the next couple of days and how things are going. Tommy, what are you doing out here? Oh, nothing. Kurt wasn't out yet. It took him so long. So Tommy had to go back out. He was buying time. He had to figure out a way to get Kurt into the lineup so he could go pinch hit for him. It's just this stuff that most people don't know.
Right, just the little things, little tapestry things.
What on earth is Lasorda doing? And I'm sure Jack Buck or Vin Scully or anyone doing that game was going, a little bit of lengthy delay here in the ninth inning. Dodgers are in big trouble. Oh, here comes Gibson. You know, and then it just, the way it happened, it just seemed like it was
almost like
smooth
as butter. Willis Reed coming onto the floor at the Garden.
I still hate that moment.
I know. Well, clearly you do.
I know, because I'm a Laker fan. He comes out, he's limping, and he's faking it. He's flopping. He sinks one shot. Then he comes out, and they win the series.
And he wasn't impactful in that game. It's just like an emotional lift.
He made one shot.
Yep.
And the place went bonkers. And
it's a great documentary on those Knicks teams. Fascinating dudes on that team, too.
I don't know who the seventh guy was on the roster. I know that Phil Jackson was the sixth, or he was on the team. You know, he was 6 foot. What is he? 6'8" forward. But DeBuscher, like I said, Lucas, Willis Reed, Earl the Pearl.
Lucas had like the crazy memory.
He
did those. He wrote a book on memory. Did
really?
Mm-hmm.
So he's a smart dude.
Oh, but a lot of them were. Well, I mean, well.
Didn't he become a senator? No, Tom Bradley. Bradley, not Tom. Bradley was
Bill Bradley.
Bill Bradley.
Bill Bradley. He was a Rhodes Scholar too.
Yeah. What do we got next?
We'll come back. Top of the hour. Let's go around the NFL. Big Ben finally reaches out, but Joe Flacco hasn't.
We're going to be friends. Oh yeah, we're not going to be friends.
No, we're not. Coming up next.
I want your job. Is what I want.
We'll go around the National Football League. Sports Radio 920 again. Sports Radio 99 The Game. He's Harper LaBelle. I'm Rob Tribble. We've got 63 minutes left in this Miller
You're
time.
You're ha-ha Rob Tribble.
I'm ha-ha Clinton Tribble. Always love that name. Flagship station of the Atlanta Falcons, Atlanta United. Atlanta United back in action tomorrow. Down there in Orlando. Pre-game at 5:30. Kick at 6 o'clock. Of course, Mike Conte, Jason Longshore will have that all for you. Top of the hour, going to get into some NFL news.
Will it be 98 degrees there?
I don't know
in
what
Orlando?
The temperature is. I'm not sure.
But it's supposed to rain. There's a possibility.
Which means it'll get back up to, which means it will get up to 90. You know those Florida rain showers last about 20 minutes, torrential downpour, then it gets steamy.
You remember the old shots from the Sombrero?
Yeah.
Tampa Bay Stadium.
Went to a game.
And you
there.
Literally have the lake of infamy just floating down in all the stands, you know. And then half hour later, there's no rain at all, and they're continuing the game in the mud. Florida. It rains hard.
I can't imagine. The worst thing is like 2-a-days in South Georgia for a high school football team. Oh. Back in the day, 3-a-days, I'm sure. Some of those guys.
We had a scrimmage when I was with the Eagles against the Falcons in Macon. And I've told you about this before, but it was.
That was when you guys were brawling.
Yes.
That was the brawl. You guys got into this horrible fight. I think your guys took off
your
helmets.
It's a fight that never ended because you get Jeff Fisher, who is Buddy Ryan's defensive coordinator, getting between, you know, Reggie White and Mike Ken or, you know, Chris Hinton, and back off. And then the very next play, Andre Dirty Waters, remember, Andre would say something, and then
just ended the scrimmage, right?
It did end a little prematurely, actually. Yeah.
Who did you brawl with that day?
I can't remember taking my helmet off and swinging it at anybody, to be honest with you.
Now, you were a Falcon then.
No, I was a.
You were an Eagle.
An Eagle.
Oh, you were an Eagle. Okay.
We're dressing in the. Well, we got to go.
You got a couple seconds.
It's the Macon Center, I guess, whatever, the Civic Center. So they stuck us
the Coliseum.
There. Okay. And then right next door was where the field was. So we, you know, and Buddy Ryan came out in black pants, black shirt, black shoes, and black socks.
1,000 degrees.
He wanted to be like Jerry. He was teasing.
That's funny.
I go, hey, do I look anything like that?
That's
Atlanta
funny.
Coach. And he had a whistle. He'd just spin the whistle around all day. It's
all right.
Crazy.
Have you ever seen a double rainbow?
Yes,
at Yellowstone?
Yesterday. No, not
at Yellowstone? No,
I'm afraid I haven't at Yellowstone.
While tripping?
I can't remember.
This guy has.
Shahi has?
No, this guy has.
Oh.
We're about to hear him.
Oh, really?
Oh, my gosh. It is a double rainbow. I cannot believe it. It's a freaking double rainbow. Oh my gosh.